Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Lord, we thank you for your grace to us. We know that some here are celebrating coming to the end of exams and various things. Others have big weights and burdens that you call us to cast on you. We thank you for good news from the Giacometti's that both Alicia and her dad, their brain issues are settling. But then we await other news for the Whitakers and if certain treatments can continue for Andrew's cancer. Lord, between these things of clearing away problems, but then wondering what remains. We live in this world in a valley. Help us to walk trusting you as we consider a great psalm of trust, one of the most famous. From children to adults alike, may we listen to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Psalm 23 famously begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, the vast majority of us here are not shepherds or farmers, so I shouldn't assume that you have first-hand familiarity with the details of Psalm 23. So as we go through, it'll help to explain a bit of shepherds and sheep. Years ago, my family read it's a tiny book, but a classic, called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Really opened my eyes about various shepherding truths. And for starters, city slickers like us, we need to reset our thinking about sheep. For most of us, I reckon just hearing the word sheep, our imagination goes into a soft focus of serenity and scenery, picturing cute and cuddly, fluffy little lambs, clean as fresh snow. But a sheep herder, a shepherd, knows what sheep are really like. Keller writes much, but something I want to pass along up front. Sheep are not clever, and sheep are not clean. Out in the elements, sheep get like year-old dreadlocks. They're muddy and stinky, usually infected with lice. They are not cuddly. Sheep are not clean, and sheep are not clever. Keller speaks about sheep doing something as simple as falling over onto their back, and many can't rise from that. We'll hear more about that later. But we're so not clever that even cartoons, even fictional cartoons like Shaun the Sheep, recognize Shaun is exceptional because all the other sheep are clueless. Bah. To show you how clueless they are, I would like to show two very brief video clips. Here's the first one. There's no sound for these. It's a bit distorted in a fisheye lens. It's not quite as steep as it looks, but it's still a very precarious hill. One wonders, why is the sheep up there? But more obviously, why does it never try reverse? You know, it keeps thinking for maybe the 100th time, if I ram through, my head will be free. Not clever. But yet, here's a second example of even worse cluelessness. It's even more eye-opening as the shepherd pulls a sheep out of a canal. Oh, what a good shepherd. What a good shepherd. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Sheep are not clean. Sheep are not clever. and they are easily led astray. And the Bible describes God's people as sheep. That's not a compliment. It's not flattery. Something Keller makes clear, and something these videos illustrate, is that sheep, to survive and thrive, are utterly reliant on their shepherd. So the shepherd really matters. Another reason I showed these clips is because later we're going to see two different kinds of shepherds lead to two different kinds of outcomes. So our big idea is that those who rely on the good shepherd will rejoice in his good care. We need to rejoice in him. Our outline is pretty straightforward going through the psalm. The good shepherd's provision, direction, protection, promotion. Note, fact finders, alliteration is broken. Let the record state. Finally, it ends with our jubilation, our joy in our good shepherd. Now, the entire journey is good because the shepherd is always with us. But in the middle of the psalm, his protection is very needed in a dark valley. Enemies arrive. And journeying through Psalm 23 is a bit like journeying from peak to peak, but then descending down into a dark valley, with both glorious peaks declaring God's faithful provision and powerful protection, so that our joy is even greater in our shepherd having ascended out of the valley of darkness. So let's journey together through Psalm 23, and let's begin with the Good Shepherd's provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Our shepherd gives sheep refreshment, safe provision of quiet waters. Did you know many a fast-flowing river can sweep away little lambs trying to drink? So in Israel, where there are no crocodiles or hippos lurking inside, quiet waters are safe for even the tiniest of lambs. But I want us to go back to the very start of verse 1 from the Lord is my shepherd. You see, from the earliest part of the Bible, in the book of Genesis and in many other psalms, God is described as the shepherd of his people, but as shepherd of the nation, Israel. David gets very personal in Psalm 23, saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I think that's why it's such a beloved psalm. See, David speaks with the intimacy of God's personal presence. And he speaks with familiarity because he was a young shepherd boy, and he knows what it's like to be a good shepherd and a bad shepherd, as our skit showed. And the one thing a good shepherd starts doing is providing for his sheep. See those words, pasture, lead, guide. David is tapping into the language, actually, that's used in the Exodus, where God delivered Israel through the Red Sea, and after that deliverance, Miriam sang a song about trust in God's leading. This is a psalm of trust, Psalm 23. And Miriam sings a song of trust of God's leading through the wilderness. It's a hope. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy pasture. That's the word from Psalm 23. Now, the pasture Miriam is singing about is the land promised to Abraham, which Moses and Miriam and the rest of Israel still has to reach by wandering through the wilderness. But even when Israel arrives in the promised land, not all of it is fertile. Large parts, seasonally, are quite dry. Pasture land is limited. This is the Shephelah, the greener lowlands. a tiny part of Israel, they were not sufficient to pastor all the flocks of all the shepherds. See, the rest of Israel, though, is sort of like Lake Eyre, when sudden and brief plant growth bursts on the scene after a rain. It's incredible. In Israel, many green pastures are small and short-lived like these, and they're hard to find. And so sheep are constantly on the move from there to there to there to there. You see, to lie down, sheep need a shepherd. And so the first takeaway from these two verses I want us to hear is that to lie down, we sheep need to trust our shepherd's sufficient provision. See, we will not lie down from our labor and our toil unless we believe our needs are taken care of, right? We'll just keep at it if we don't think our needs are met. Now, the key for our first world problems, God meets our needs, not our wishes. Paul writes the church in Philippi, he says, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ. You see, God is wise enough to know and loving enough to know that everything I wish for may well not be good for me, best for me, spiritually, for my character, for my kingdom priorities. There's a very famous Bible verse about the love of money being a root of many evils. And it's that famous verse is preceded by these verses. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food and clothing, be content with these. See, that's our needs. But those who wish to get rich fall into a trap, foolish desires which plunge them into ruin. For the love of money is a root of many evils. You see, Paul here warns of a flu way more dangerous than COVID, spiritual influenza called affluenza, a desire for more that is fueled by a spiritual virus called discontent, fixated on affluency. I want more. I want better. I want newer. I want it now. But our good shepherd knows better. See, the shepherd's provision was plentiful for daily food, for our daily bread, and the sheep's daily grass. See, the next day, the sheep might need to be led by the shepherd to another grazing field. See, what I found fascinating in reading Keller's book about shepherding was that even if a pasture was abundant, or today, if we think of a really lush paddock, sheep still need help. Why? Because they ruin the vegetation that they feed on by creating really wide ruts. They walk over it again and again and graze over the same part again and again until large-scale erosion hits the paddock, killing off regrowth, ruining their sustenance. Keller says sheep must be moved on and moved on and moved on, or they'll tear up their own sustenance. It's the same with us. We need to move on. Move on from our fixation of interest rates, of gold prices, of tech fund prices, of the dollar. Be wise in investments, that's not the issue. But be content, sheep. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Trust God for your needs. Do you remember what Jesus said? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you do that, I'm going to take care of all your needs, all your needs. Seek God's priorities for your life, your family, your outreach, your work, your ministry. Invest what he has given you spiritually, material, relationally. Seek first his kingdom and he'll take care of you, sheep. Lie down and rest. Trust the good shepherd's provision. You see, he's proven again and again that you can trust him. Israel's now about to enter the promised land in Deuteronomy, so not they've just gone through the Red Sea when Miriam sang, but 40 years later. God has watched over your journey through this immense wilderness. The Lord your God has been with you these past 40 years, and you have lacked nothing. That's the identical phrase as Psalm 23. I have what I need, or I lack nothing. It's a different translation, the same Hebrew. You see, God provided in the wilderness daily bread for manna. Manna for daily bread, I should say. But more, he said, even the sandals they wore in their wilderness wandering, he says, I prevented those from wearing out. Food and clothing, your needs are met. All met against all odds in the wilderness. Now, in your wilderness of unemployment, retrenchment, bankruptcy, whatever it is, trust the shepherd. He has many marvelous means to meet your needs. Lie down and rest in our good shepherd's sure provision. Provision for today, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own, our good shepherd said. So let's now move to the shepherd, the good shepherd's direction. He renews my life, or many versions, he restores my soul. He leads me along righteous paths for his namesake. Now, this is a comprehensive picture of God's care and direction for all of life, not just physical, material, like bread and water and shoes, but emotional, spiritual, relational, everything. That verb, restore or renew, is the Hebrew verb for turn. And turning is hugely important in the world of shepherding. You see, when a sheep... going back to Philip Keller's book, I don't know much about sheep, so this was enlightening. When a sheep becomes cast, that is another way, cast down it's called, that is flat on its back. Keller describes the urgency of this situation. Although the sheep paws frantically, it is to no avail. It cannot turn itself upright. Gases build up in the stomach and expand to cut off the blood flow to the legs. If the weather is hot, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. If it's cool, it may survive a few days in this position if wolves don't come first. You see, the important thing is cast down sheep need their shepherd to turn them. To turn them upright. He renews, he returns my life. And it's no different. It's no different for us. There we are. When the psalm writer says, why, my soul, are you cast down? Life happens in a fallen world, doesn't it? A sudden family responsibility that you did not plan for, health news you didn't ask for, a relational rupture that you were not looking for, a financial burden you didn't account for, an interruption, any interruption to your life plan that you never saw coming. Like sheep, we are also naturally helpless to right ourselves. Especially when things are tough and we are cast down. You know, I think it's at the point where society can no longer even count all the disorders and dysphorias and prescriptions that people have and are seeking. We need our shepherd to renew and restore us, to give divine direction and wisdom. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Put your hope in God, my Savior, as the psalm writer reminds himself of God's goodness. How? How do we receive this divine direction that our shepherd provides? What did Jesus say? Well, he said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. But Jesus ascended to heaven and is exalted. So how do we hear his voice? Well, his voice is breathed into Scripture by his Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, correcting, training in righteousness to equip us for every good work. A slight paraphrase. This is the voice of God to us that's clear and authoritative and stands the test of time. Even back in David's day, when there was unquestioned, ongoing revelation, David was pulling from previous scriptures in the Old Testament into his Psalms, as we've even considered today, from the Exodus and other parts of Scripture, quoting phrases. You see, God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, the path of righteousness that we'll see. So here's a question. How familiar are you with the voice of God? If you want direction from the Good Shepherd, are you listening? Do you have a reading plan as it floats? Like, oh, there it is. There's some in the back you can grab. But even if you have it, are you using it? More importantly, are you using it gladly? You see, this is the blessed person. How blessed is a person delighting in the Lord's instruction, meditating on it day and night, like a tree rooted beside a stream, bearing fruit, not withering, but flourishing. See, the very first psalm of the book of Psalms says the foundation for flourishing, for abundant life, for wise guidance and direction and success is the Word of God. Not only to renew us back to our feet, but to return us back to His path of righteousness. You see, that word renew, restore, it doesn't mean just to turn. It means to return. In fact, it means to repent in a different context. To repent. You see, it's not just tough things that happen to us, that life happens. Sadly, we jump off the path of righteousness, sometimes kicking and screaming. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We need our shepherd to come to us, wayward sheep, and correct us by his word. His spiritual shepherd's staff to pull us back onto the path of righteousness. Even if that word is hearing his voice through the biblical counsel of godly friends. Not just hearing it, delighting in it, and then doing it. You see, another psalm says, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I recently caught up with someone who is devastated by falling back into a very old sin, giving the enemy a foothold, erasing the big number and replacing it with zero on the sign, 0 days without a workplace injury or a soul place injury, a big setback. This person said, looking back, I can see it now. For my time with God and His Word, glad devotion, delight, became a mere duty, mechanical box ticking. Box ticking is a ticking time bomb, spiritually speaking. Relationships have no shortcuts. And so it is with sheep relating to our shepherd, to our walk with God. Can I encourage you to meditate on the book of Psalms in our reading plan? Not just read it, not just tick a box, but meditate, because the psalm writers consistently pour out their heart and soul to God in thanksgiving, in lament, in trust, in doubts, yet turning to God, their good shepherd, to revive their soul, to renew their lives. Psalm writers engage in anything but box ticking, or should I say box writing. They are laying their souls bare before God and His people to learn. Join in tomorrow at Psalm 13 in the reading plan. The shepherd's voice in Scripture. That's the how. That's the how of his direction. What about the why? Well, the end of the verse gives us the answer. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. You see, the very end of our psalm will tell us that God's goodness pursues us. We are pursued with grace and goodness. We get the good, but God gets the glory. See, God got the glory, for example, when Job's faith was tested and proven. Remember, Satan objected to God. Job worships you only because of the goodies that you give him. And God said, wrong. He worships me because of my worth. Take away Job's goodies, his blessings, and you'll see. See, the only way to prove faith is walking by faith, to trust. And it reminds me of John Wesley on a ship across the ocean, and a huge storm hit, and he's freaking out and screaming as with were a bunch of other people, and yet this group of these Moravians, these German early Protestant Christians were singing, women, children, adults, singing hymns to God. And he was like, I need to chat with them about their faith and their God. You see, when faith is tested, God is glorified. Our good sheep, our good is not defined by ease of the journey, but by the noble outcome. Spiritual growth and character to the glory of God. So flunking a subject, getting kicked off the sports team, being unemployed, whatever these are, they are not ultimate. They're paths, paths through which you can bring glory to God by trusting in Him, honoring His name, that people would take note and go, what is the hope that is in you? See, today we have working dogs that herd sheep by driving them. But in biblical times, the shepherd led the way in righteous paths, and Jesus led the way. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So as we finish this point, I want you to realize to claim Jesus as your shepherd is to claim that you listen to His voice and that you follow Him. You follow His directions. See, it's a claim that you're His sheep and you desire to be led by your shepherd led in paths of righteousness for God's glory. You see, I hate to break it to you if this is what you think, but Jesus is not a life coach that you hire. He is a shepherd who bought you by his own blood. Which will bring us to the next point, but I end this with a question. Do you desire to be led by Jesus and follow him? Well, then listen on, because the fullness of our shepherd's restoration of our soul, renewal to life, is not just now, not just the temporal, but the eternal, full restoration in Jesus, in the good shepherd's protection. Sheep are not tough. They're just not tough. A few years back, an investigation began as sheep were being killed in the paddocks of Pittsworth, just outside Toowoomba. The serial killer was found, and it was a dog. What ferocious breed of dog? No kidding. The serial killer was Pom Pom the Pomeranian. Sheep need protecting. The very toughest of us still fear all sorts of things. I don't know what you're fearing at the moment, but all of us can fear certain things. The road of life is somewhat unknown, with potential dangers, and so we need the shepherd close by. We need to stick with him, and he needs to stick with us. So David writes of his only hope and trust in verse 4, "Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, the shepherd's presence is a great consolation to the sheep. You are with me. And Jesus says, "I am with you even to the end of the age by my Spirit, and I'm coming back for you so that you can be with me forever." But David confesses with joy as we notice the he of verses 1 to 3 is shifted to a much more personal you as David talks to God, not just about God. You are with me. See, in the darkest valleys, life brings God's nearness. It's crucial. Darkness in this verse is a form of a compound word which is death shadow. Death shadow. And so a common translation is, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Be encouraged that the shadow of a sword cannot cut you. The shadow of a dog, far bigger than Pom Pom, cannot bite you. Shadows cannot harm us, but what lurks in the shadows might. So the tools of the good shepherd are his rod and his staff, which comfort us. Now, I reckon we're more familiar with the staff. That's used by human shepherds, particularly for bodily support. It's rocky terrain and hilly when you're a shepherd, sort of like modern snow skiers use poles. And usually a shepherd's staff had a curved end. Now, sometimes that was used to hold a sheep in place for medical care when they're giving birth, whatever, and they need to be kept still and isolated, but frequently it was used to pull lambs back onto the right path. See, above all, the staff drew us close to the shepherd, draws sheep close to the shepherd and brings comfort. Now, the rod is about protection. See, it's much shorter than a staff. It was heavy with a gnarly end, sometimes sharp. To club a wolf or a mountain lion, to bruise and pierce it, drive it away with power. Not only does a shepherd use a rod to protect us, but there's one other tool a shepherd has, which I love, and that's his own hands. He protects his flock. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them in the fold of his garment. And that's exactly what I had to do for our puppy this week when a huge dog from next door jumped the front fence and came at Chewy. I had to pick him up and protect him. A shepherd protects his sheep not only with the staff, not only with a rod, but with his own hands. What a beautiful picture of all of this comes together in Jesus Christ. For Isaiah is writing about our divine shepherd. You see, more than just his presence with us, his incarnation, Jesus protects us by carrying the weight of our sin and his crucifixion. You see, his own hands bore the nails, and he took on himself the rod of God's judgment. More from Isaiah, this verse. He carried our pain. He was pierced for our rebellion. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, gone to our way, but the Lord has punished him for us. That is a gloriously good shepherd. And Jesus did this willingly. It was no accident. He wasn't trapped. He's very clear when he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. See, on the cross, Jesus quoted the psalm just before, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he's the good shepherd of Psalm 23. The shepherd was forsaken so we could be forgiven, saved from our sin. See, the good shepherd stays and gives his life. The bad shepherd, the hired hand, he just bolts like we saw in the skit. Because Jesus said they don't care about the sheep. They leave them in distress, whether it's wolves or other problems, like this pathetic shepherd finishing off a clip. Like, you think he's going to go back to the sheep? Nope. He's done. One go, back to my business, fixing my fence, back to my things. That is a pathetic shepherd who leaves the sheep. Now, I don't know if sound will come through on this one, but this is the finish of the other video that I showed, and it's really what you hear in their joy on this dangerous peak when they traverse it. They're up there. The sheep is set free, and there it goes down the hill. They're slapping their hands. They're so excited, and it reminds me of the parable where this shepherd leaves 99 sheep to go after one lamb. And God rejoices in heaven at one sinner who has repent and is saved. Is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Have you bowed your knee in repentant faith, seeing that only he can save you, restore you? Do so this very morning if you have not. Chat with me after. Well, Jesus is now risen from death in triumph, so his promise is true that he shares in the next verse in John 10 when he says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them from my hand. What a good shepherd. Are you a wise sheep? The Son will lose none. You see, one day, each of us will not make it through the valley, out, back up to the second peak. All of us have a day assigned for our death. But his sheep have eternal life because the shepherd paid the price. And a heavenly Mount Zion awaits, a new heaven and a new earth. And so, tying this verse together, I appreciate this illustration from Pastor Donald Barnhouse. He was driving home from the funeral service of his wife. He was trying to think of a way to console his kids and comfort them about losing their mother. And he's in deep thought. He's probably driving slow on the freeway, thinking about what to say, and this truck just zooms by in the lane right next to theirs. And as it did, the shadow of the truck engulfed the car, but only momentarily, and passed by. Thankful for an idea to share and a word for the moment, he said, children, would you rather be run over by a truck or its shadow? They're like, Dad, its shadow. A shadow can't hurt us. And he said, 2,000 years ago, the truck of death ran over Jesus. So that now, It's only a shadow that we face in death. That's what happened to your mom. And the shadow of death has passed, and she is now unharmed in heaven with the Lord. Just as Paul said, oh, I desire to be with him. Fearful sheep, trust the good shepherd. Disturbed sheep, trust the devoted shepherd. We're almost out of time, so I'll be brief. The good shepherd's promotion. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There is abundance, certainly in eternity and often now. I'll just make a quick comment. We don't know which table this is, where this is at. Is this a farmhouse, like going from farm to table out there outdoors with a shepherd? Or has David now ascended back up out of the valley? Because verse 6 talks about being in the house of the Lord forever, the temple. Is he back up on Mount Jerusalem? We don't know. He's both a good shepherd and a gracious host. Either way, the outcome's the same. Just the location of the enemy will be different. But back in Psalm 78, said this, they spoke against God, saying, is God able to spread a table in the wilderness? Yes. Thus recounted the manna and what was provided, that God meets our needs. There's a later table where Judas was the enemy sitting at the table of the Lamb. It didn't faze Jesus. It's part of the plan. See, when the enemy can see you sitting at God's table, in sweet fellowship, in at peace with the Lord, it's going to make enemies think, scratch their head. God, in a sense, is promoting his glory by promoting you. Look at the peace and the abundant life my child has. It doesn't mean things are always easy. There's trials. There's even martyrdom, but there's a picture here that our shepherd provides everything we need and sometimes abundance that brings him great glory as you rejoice in his provision for you. And one hopes that the enemies looking on at your table will scratch their head and think, what is that hope? You know, there's a church in China with Wang Yi. There's a Gospel Coalition article. He's in house prison now, but an elder at this Reformed church took over a prayer meeting and started hosting an online prayer meeting, like a Zoom kind of thing, to keep fellowship going. And in just a few weeks, it has exploded. Started a few weeks ago. It's called 5 p.m. China. The police found out about it. So they come to Elder Lee, who started this, took over this 5 p.m. China prayer time. And he has guards sitting in his house, surrounding his table. He's got enemies at the table of his desk, saying, don't go online. You cannot go online and pray. So he leaves the computer off and just prays. Right in front of them. And he says, how can you stop me from praying? I can pray with my eyes closed or open. I can pray loudly or silently. I can pray standing or kneeling or lying down, sitting here even while talking to you. Would you like me to pray for you? Friends, that's a table with enemies seated that can glorify God. Seeing your trust in the Lord, that you still have abundant life, even with enemies right next to you. Do you see his table? Do you sit at it and commune with him? Don't envy the table of the enemy. Let's close with our jubilation. Like really the end of the psalm is this. Surely goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that word pursue, the vast majority of the time, speaks of enemies ferociously pursuing you for evil. And God flips it because enemies are in view. No, God says, my grace and goodness will pursue you. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Trust him and be glad. He is a good shepherd and a gracious shepherd. You know, as I wrap up the message, when our daughter was a toddler, and we'd take her on walks, whenever we approached a potential obstacle or danger, like whether it was a curb that had to cross the street and then hop up the curb, or even things like going to a playground, there's a big wall to hold sand, you need to get them over the obstacle, Mom and I would be on each side of Kai, and we'd each have a hand. As we tightened our grip and she felt that, she'd just lift her legs and just sort of airwalk, you know. She knew when we tightened our hands, it was safe to rise up. See, when we think about this psalm, trusting in the Lord, his presence, his protection, we think about Jesus in John 10 saying, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. They have eternal life. No one can snatch them from my hands. What a privilege for us. In fact, Jesus says, the Father also, no one can snatch them from his hand. The Son and the Father both squeezing us in a secure grip. You are doubly safe and secure, friends. Trust the Lord. See his table. He meets your daily needs. Sometimes he goes way beyond that. Delight in him and let the world see. And may they savor our Savior. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Lord, I thank you for this great psalm. Although there is a dark valley in it, that sometimes in this life is an earthly trial that ends and we ascend, or even when the shadow is gone and it is death itself. You are good and you lead us to glory, to your house forever. And as we study this in Grace Group, and I ask, what tune would they pick for this psalm, given its confident, celebratory ethos? I pray we would think about the joy and delight that these precious promises of our shepherd providing. He directs, he protects, he promotes, so that we can have joy and jubilation. May we sing with joy. And Lord, I do pray that if some here are not yet your sheep, young or old, may they see your goodness and come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.